Today's words of wisdom, the true meaning of ahimsa, will be presented in English and Hindi with subtitles in Arabic, Olexis Vietnamese, Chinese, English, French, German, Hebrew, Hindi, Hungarian, Indonesian, Italian, Korean, Persian, Polish, Portuguese, Punjabi, Romanian, Russian, Spanish, Thai, Turkish, and Urdu. भारतवर्ष विश्व की सबसे अधिक उदार प्रजातंत्र के साथ दूसरी सर्वाधिक जनसंख्या वाला देश है और इसे 7000 किलोमीटर से अधिक की सीमा रेखा का सौभाग्य प्राप्त है। यहाँ विश्व के चार प्रमुख धर्मों हिंदू धर्म, बौद्ध धर्म, जैन धर्म और सिख धर्म का उद्भव हुआ, जबकि इस्लाम, ईसाईयत, यहूदी धर्म तथा पारसी धर्म पहली सहस्त्राब्दी में यहाँ आया। भारत में पशुओं को बहुत प्यार और आदर दिया जाता है और कई पशुओं का एक अनूठा आध्यात्मिक महत्व है। यहाँ तक कि एक हिंदू देवता का निरूपण गणेश का सिर एक दांत वाले हाथी का है। साधु संत, आत्मज्ञानी मास्टर और गणेश, कृष्ण, बुद्ध, विष्णु, शिव और पार्वती जैसे देवताओं के अलावे भारतवर्ष कई अन्य प्रसिद्ध व्यक्तियों जैसे कि दलाई लामा, मदर टेरेसा, जिन्हें उनके द्वारा भारत के सभी धर्मों के गरीब लोगों की सेवा के लिए भारतीय सरकार के द्वारा पूर्ण राजकीय सम्मान से अंतिम संस्कार किया गया, भौतिकी के नोबेल पुरस्कार विजेता डॉक्टर सीवी रमन और संयुक्त राष्ट्र संघ के जलवायु परिवर्तन अंतर शासकीय पैनल IPCC के शाकाहारी प्रमुख डॉक्टर राजेंद्र के पचौरी जैसे कई लोगों का घर भी है। भारतवर्ष योग और ध्यान की जन्मस्थली के साथ साथ सत्य के जिज्ञासुओं के लिए प्रमुख तीर्थस्थल भी है। कुंभ मेला में भाग लेने के लिए समूचे विश्व भर से तीर्थयात्रियों का झुंड यहाँ आता है, हिमालय की खूबसूरती को टकटकी लगाता है अथवा पवित्र गंगा नदी में गोता लगाता है। भारतवर्ष में शाकाहार भी एक अन्य महत्वपूर्ण मुद्दा है, जहाँ नीतियों का सख्ती से पालन होता है। जैसे कि रूसी के शहर में जहाँ मांस, अंडे के साथ ही शराब का उपभोग भी गैर कानूनी है, इस नीति को सर्वोच्च न्यायालय के द्वारा एक बार पुनः वैध ठहराया गया जब इसे 2004 में चुनौती दी गई थी। खूबसूरती से अद्वितीय इस देश में भी सुप्रीम मास्टर चिंगाई ने आत्मज्ञान की खोज में भ्रमण किया। हिमालय की गहराई में यह भी वह जगह है जहाँ उन्हें अपना महान मास्टर मिला, जिन्होंने उन्हें ध्यान के कुआनियन पद्धति के बारे में बताया। नवंबर 1997 में सुप्रीम मास्टर चिंगाई ने वर्तमान भारत के 7 प्रमुख संतों में से एक आदरणीय दादा JP वासवानी का समस्त जीवन के प्रति श्रद्धा पर विश्व सम्मेलन में भाग लेने का आमंत्रण स्वीकार किया। आमंत्रित प्रतिभागियों में समूचे विश्व के गणमान्य डॉक्टर और आध्यात्मिक नेतागण थे। इस विषय पर एक विशिष्ट अतिथि के रूप में प्रतिनिधियों को संबोधित करने के लिए सुप्रीम मास्टर चिंगाई को आमंत्रित किया गया था। हम अहिंसा का वास्तविक अर्थ के शीर्षक से यह भाषण प्रदर्शित कर रहे हैं, जो कि सुप्रीम मास्टर चिंगाई द्वारा समस्त जीवन के प्रति श्रद्धा के विषय पर पुणे, भारत में 22 नवंबर 1997 को आयोजित विश्व सम्मेलन में दिया था। नमस्ते।
नमस्ते। डिस्टिंग्विश्ड गवर्नमेंट ऑफिसर्स, महाराजीज, महाताजीज, आई एम वेरी ऑनर्ड टू बी हियर एंड ब्लेस्ड बाय योर सुप्रीम प्रेजेंस। मे द सुप्रीम इन योर सेल्फ कंटिन्यू टू ब्लेस मी and the whole world, so that I may be able to have this kind of honor again or continue to do whatever the fathers and mothers expected from my daughter. Thank you so much. Let's close our eyes for a second to pray for all beings. Thank you so much. Please don't be alarmed by the title Supreme Master, because we are all supreme. And I was embarrassed to be called the Supreme Master. And then I tell my people, please don't call me that. Call yourself. And they refuse. And I said, okay, then call Suma Qinghai. So it is less official. It's less scary. But and then I become the Supreme Master Suma Qinghai. It's make more trouble, so I just give up. I hope you forgive me for making a little joke. Now I'm going to impress you with my Hindi language. Up kaise ho? Theek hai? You are not too tired? Yes. We are very appreciative of your supreme effort to stay here in this heat and dense congregation to support this noble ideal of the organization. And for this reason, I am also having the honor to be here today. Of course, we all go through some difficulty and inconvenience in order to be here, including myself. I did not know, as a British, I need a visa for India. I got stuck in Bangkok. And then some of our brothers and sisters, the Indian overseas, the brother of Mr. Daswani and his wife have helped me out, and the courtesy of the embassy of Bangkok. Yes. Anyhow, when I told her that I'm very sorry to trouble you in this aspect, because the travel agency told me I don't need it. I knew I need it, but they keep insisting that I don't need, so I thought I was wrong. So never underestimate your intuition, I told myself. Yes. And so the lady of his brother had told me, oh, maybe because we should meet each other in Bangkok, that's why it happened like this. Yeah. I said, wow, she's very, very enlightened. Typical Indian. Yes. Why the Indian people are more enlightened than other people, I wonder myself. Yes. And then I had the answer. God told me, because they practice what they preach. They practice ahimsa. They practice vegetarianism. They practice prayers. They practice meditation. They practice constant awareness of all beings are one. What is done to one is done to all others. And I say, thank you very much. When we have sincere question, God always answers. And this is what the Hinduism and the philosophy of this motherland is boiled down to. We have to search inside. There are two kinds of practice. There's one is theory and the other is practice. And the Indian people know both. I'm not here to preach or to praise. I'm just here to offer my humble support to the highest and noblest ideal of Indian philosophy and lifestyle. And I thank you for the honor. I'm just also having the urge to be reminded that Indian is always, centuries after 10 centuries, the lighthouse of the whole planet. And I am reminded to humbly beg you to remain so, despite all the difficulty and temptation. Because without Indian, without the basic moral standard and compassion that generated from this motherland, the world will not have anywhere to turn to. The more we advance in technology and science, the more we can afford ourselves material comfort. And unfortunately, the more we are tempted to give up all that is noble and love that is supposed to be our true nature. In case any of us, the other side of the world, forget, please, the father and mother of Indians or the Maharajis, Mahatajis, please do remind us again, again and again, by your shining examples, because example is very important. His Excellency the Governor has told us just now to put our knowledge into action. Yes, at the end of his speech, he said, let us do it. And this is what we should do. So please remind us, myself, remind me, remind the whole world of the noble idea of what we are here for. And as His Holiness Dada has told us, that he wonders if Indian or mankind has really, truly know what independence is. I also wonder too. Some of the, perhaps the Indian natives has given up to the pressure of new trend of society, give up what is the noble inheritance of India. We should remind these brothers and sisters, please come back to where we belong. Because there's only one way to live our life, that's the right way. There's no other way. Isn't that true? The choice of our life, of course, make us different. The choice of our life make us God or anti-God. Even though the Indian philosophy teach us that we are all God and God is within us. But if we make the wrong choice, we go in the opposite direction. God create both light and darkness, good and evil, so that we be able to understand, to know, to exercise our wisdom to choose the right way. Some of us tend sometimes to give in to weakness and forget that the price of strength, the price of honoring our own ideal is greater than material gain, much, much greater. And we have to strive for that. We have to honor ourselves by choosing the right way, the way the Indian people have chosen thousands and thousands and thousands of years, the way the Indian people have influenced the world. Many great teachers have to come to India, bow to this motherland, to beg for some knowledge, and in order to develop their own wisdom. Jesus has been here, Buddha was here, many of other great teachers has been born here. Like the Sikh Guru and the Hindu Gurus, century after century, they have sacrificed everything to remind us of this noble idea of ahimsa, of loving kindness, because God is love. If we want to be God, we must be love representative. God give us freedom of will. Of course, He never say, you must do this, you must do that, or I will punish you. God doesn't say that. Punishment comes from us, comes from our own conscience. We know what is wrong, what is right. And when we do something wrong, we don't feel good. And that is punishment. That's worse than hell, when our conscience feeling very, very bad about what we have done. And when we feel good about something, that means we are doing God's will. So God give us the free will to choose. So let us remind ourselves and the world that we have to choose God's way. That's the only way to represent ourselves. If we think that we are God, that we think that we are one with God, and that God is even dwells within ourselves, then we have to represent that. We cannot go on doing evil things in opposite direction and following darkness and then saying at the same time that I am born in godliness, that I and God are one. So this is the choice that the Indian people most often make, the choice of beauty, the choice of loving kindness. And that is how the world have learned from India. I beg you, all the fathers and mothers, to continue protect us by your way of living. Continue to enlighten us with your choice of noble living, so that we, the rest of the world, can be strong, following your example, can rely on you to walk in darkness and to become also a shining light of this world. I guess you know everything already that I am saying and I was going to say or I will ever say. So I just want to express what I already learned from you, so that you know that, okay, you have a good student here. I have understood that I have understood. So what I have said is just to make you understand that I have understood what you have taught me, what the message that you have brought to the world. You have one good student here. Please continue to make more students. Thank you so much. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Example is very important. You see, Dadachi is a vegetarian. And he inspired all his followers to become vegetarian. The governor, His Excellency, a vegetarian. And that's how many of other subjects follow him to be vegetarian. And my grandmother was vegetarian, so she's inspired me to be vegetarian. And now I inspire millions of people also vegetarian. So one example, very important. Please remember to remind us. Thank you. Thank you so much for having patience with a good student like me. As we have made acquaintance yesterday, and you were very happy with me as a good student of Indian philosophy, I show up again as a request of the kindness of the organizers. And today I make another exam report to you, my gurus. I hope you will accept it. As you know, when you teach a student, you want feedback, whether the student understood your teaching or not. And you always make an exam so that you can measure the progress of the student. So here you are. According to my understanding of your teaching, it's like this. Ahimsa consisted of non-violence in three dimensions. The first and the most obvious is physical dimension. And the second is the mental dimension, or emotional included. And the third is spiritual dimension. So ahimsa is not, according to my humble opinion, is not only non-killing, non-harming sentient beings or our fellow human beings, but also to protect their lives. Not only just negative or inactive, like passive, like, okay, I don't kill, I don't scold, I don't cause harm physically, but protect. And this the Indian people know very well what to do. So I'm not going too far in this. Second is the emotional aspect or mental aspect. Suppose we cause harm to anyone, including ourselves, emotionally or mentally. That, according to my very humble understanding, is also ahimsa. So ahimsa means we try not to hurt anyone emotionally, deliberately. Of course, we cannot avoid it when we do not understand what the other people are feeling. And then that is excusable. But whenever we can, we try to avoid. Actually, the whole precepts of Hinduism consisted of 5 or 10 precepts, including non-stealing, non-telling lie, non-sexual abuse, and non-intoxication and all that. But I think it's all boiled down to a word, ahimsa. For example, taking intoxication, and then we will hurt our people's feelings. and we cause them sorrow and worries and anxieties. That is also himsa. And suppose if we take other spouse without agreement or permission or consent of the other spouse, if they agree, I don't know, I have no interference in people's private life, but without consent, without permission, we would cause sorrow and trouble and pain to the other spouse, and in turn also cause a lot of mental distress, emotional upset to the children and to whomever are concerned in that family. So I guess this is also called himsa. That's why the Indian philosophy always emphasizes ahimsa. Oh, this is a mental and emotional aspect and spiritual aspect. Suppose if we do not understand a teaching of the great sage in the ancient time, and we try to interpret it in the wrong way to suit our own purpose, our personal gain, may it be political, may it be financial, may it be fame and glory, whatever, that is also himsa, because we cause people to regress in their spiritual practice, we cause people to degrade themselves and lessen their glory in the eyes of the Lord, lessen their own godly quality. And that is the greatest himsa in my very, very humble opinion. Please tell me if I'm wrong. Thank you. There is a great teacher in India, he tell one joke like this. One time he told his students to tell him how high is the wall in front of them. So everybody quickly write a paper report to him and say, it's about 2 meters height and 2 meters and half. And everybody say about or approximately. And the teacher say, this is all wrong. You answer all wrong. The correct answer is, I don't know. That's true. When we don't know, we say we don't know. When we know, we say we know. And that is no. Whatever I learn from Indian great sages of the ancient or the modern time, whatever I understand, I tell people that is the thing I understand and I know. And you can take it or leave it. And the other thing I don't understand, I say I have to study more. And when I understand, I come back to you. Yeah. This is very caution, because I don't want to cause himsa in spiritual aspect. I think this is more detrimental than emotional himsa or physical himsa. Is that right, sir? Madam? Yes? Thank you. The second part is that life is joyful. Every religion emphasizes heaven here on earth right now. Right now. Right now, if we know it, if we get in touch with God inside, we're joyful all the time. Heaven is here. That's correct. That's true. But that is the true joy if we are connected with God. And that's the Indian sages always tell us, go inside, meditate inside. You can meditate on mantra, you can meditate on God's name, you can kiss a stone perhaps, or kiss a plant, whatever you do, so that you can get in touch with God. Whatever your way is fine. He doesn't say you have to do a particular way. But just through my search, through my spiritual thirst for wisdom, I go all over places, learn with many teachers. I have just found that the method imparted by the Indian sages of old time and modern time are the best. The one that emphasize the inner light and self, that's the quickest. If you meditate on other mantra or any concentration, you will see light and you hear sound too. But if you meet a master who can impart to you directly, quickly, open the door, then you see it right away. You don't have to take so much effort. And from then on, we continue all the time. And this is what I was fortunate to be imparted with. I just reported to you. You know already, anyhow. So after that, we have joy. We have joy all the time. But the righteous joy. The noble joy, the joy but not hurting other people, the joy without the expense of other people, the joy of being faithful to your wife and husband and knowing truly that the spouse is God, and hurting others is truly hurting yourself, because you have the joy of knowing God, you know that you have to behave like God. But that's what my teacher taught me, and that's how I experienced through my own humble journey in search of the true wisdom. We all got, like our reverend, a minister, and other distinguished speaker before us, we all have God inside. We all got, even stone and all that. We all know that. But different beings bestow different level of consciousness. And human beings are the highest in this consciousness. So human beings behave like God. So we are human, so we have the distinguished difference. We have love. So sex between love is different than sex just for enjoyment, in my humble opinion. Because God is joy, God is love, but God is not hurting others. Suppose we take the spouse of other people and have sex just for the physical enjoyment. That is okay with God. Perhaps God do not judge us. But how about the other one? We hurt her, we hurt him, and we don't like that. As God, we want to represent the highest, the noblest idea of divinity. And that's why we choose to live righteously. We live the life of ahimsa. We choose it because we know we are God. Not that God will judge you. You can do what you want, of course. You can have 50 wives, 50 husbands. God will never say anything. But is that the way we want to represent God? I don't think so. Love in the higher level is for all humanity. You can love 50 women, you can love 500, you can love 50 million galaxies of inhabitants. But it's a different than a personal love. There are two levels, personal and impersonal. Personal, we have to take care of our family, love our spouse and children, and discharge our duties at the best. That's personal. Impersonal, we have to serve human beings with the very, very indiscriminating and unconditional love. And that's what the sages of India, since thousands of years, since the beginning of creation, have been teaching us and have been showing as an example. The sages are the embodiment of love and unconditional sacrifice. They would not teach us ever to harm other sentient beings in the spirit of ahimsa. That is the three-dimensional level of ahimsa. There's another point that I have just noticed from the speakers before. Okay. Because they all tell us to live righteously. All of these speakers, the distinguished one here, tell us. So why is it should we do that? Why should we do that? If God doesn't judge us, if God is indiscriminating, you do what you want, that's true. This is only life, perhaps, as you know. Why worry about moral obligation, about loving responsibility, about being faithful, about being loving kind? Why worry about all this? Just enjoy. Enjoy is fine, but enjoy in a noble way, not in an animal way. That's what the sages tell us. We can do anything we want and degrade ourselves into animal level. That's our absolutely right. But is that the way we want to live? I don't think the sages of India taught us ever this way. Am I right? Thank you. So, and there's another point why we have to keep ourselves noble and pure. Because people can see us. People can see, the seers, the sages, and the pure in the heart can see our aura. If we do something right, we are God realized, we are God loving and one with God. Our aura is golden, it's brilliant. If we do something wrong, we hurt other people emotionally, physically, or mentally, or spiritually, our aura is dark. People can see us, we cannot cheat. That's why we have to keep ourselves beautiful. Right, so as much as we put on makeup, we put on tight and beautiful dresses to represent God to the world outside, we must also put makeup, beautiful dress of purity, godliness, and holy love inside so that we can represent the true God within us. Thank you very much for your patience.
I'm happy that you made it. From Sri Lanka? No, from Nepal? Nepal, oh. I heard that your country is very beautiful. Nepal, right? Have Himalaya or not? Yes. Huh? Yes. No. I remember Himalaya in Nepal. There is a story about a lack of eternal life, you know, somewhere in the Himalaya, maybe in Nepal. That's why I can live forever there. India legends say there is a lake in Himalaya. There's a lake. If you go and drink water from that lake, you live forever. So one day, Alexander the Great, he went there, he wanted to have a drink. And then there was a man who come out and throw himself in front of him, saying, "Oh, Your Majesty, please don't drink the water." And he say, "Alexander the Great," he say, why you want to stop me? I want to live forever. I want to be like God, eternal. And the man say, "You look at me. I have no more teeth. I live so long, I cannot die. What is the use? What is the use of living eternally? I have no teeth to eat anything." He can't even smile. Because when he smiles, there's a hole in his mouth. So, I don't want to go to Nepal and live eternally. I will become like that man. No good. No. We will live eternally, but don't have to be in Nepal. Huh? You can live up there. Yeah? When we go to heaven, we live forever. And we retain the teeth. And the hair, and the nail, everything. And all the ring too. Yes, do you sometimes meditate and see your deceased people? Deceased relatives? Like maybe your grandfather dead already long time, your mother died, or your father gone to heaven? Yeah? But when you meditate, you saw them, right? And sometimes your parents, or your grandparents or your relatives, when they were still alive in this world, they were probably disabled or maybe short of some instrument, you know, like one arm missing, one arm is not functioning, or one leg is gone. But when you see them in heaven, they are complete again, all healed, all beautiful and perfect. Thank you.
हम आज के ज्ञान के शब्दों में विनम्र दर्शकों आपकी उपस्थिति के आभारी हैं। कृपया शुक्रवार को दोबारा मिले अहिंसा का वास्तविक अर्थ के अंतिम भाग के लिए, जो कि सुप्रीम मास्टर चिंगाई के द्वारा पुणे भारत ने 1997 को दिया। और अब कृपया बने रहे सुप्रीम मास्टर टेलीविजन पर सफलता के सितारों के लिए जो आगे आ रहा है। आशा करते हैं कि स्वर्ग का प्रकाश आपके जीवन को प्रकाशित कर दे। थैंक यू काइंड व्यूअर्स फॉर योर प्रेजेंस ऑन टुडेज वर्ड्स ऑफ विजडम। प्लीज जॉइन अस अगेन ऑन फ्राइडे फॉर द कंक्लूजन ऑफ द ट्रू मीनिंग ऑफ अहिंसा डिलीवर्ड बाय सुप्रीम मास्टर चिंगाई इन पुणे इंडिया इन 1997। एंड नाउ प्लीज स्टे ट्यून्ड टू सुप्रीम मास्टर टेलीविजन फॉर मॉडल्स ऑफ सक्सेस कमिंग अप नेक्स्ट। मे द लाइट ऑफ हेवन शाइन ब्राइटली इन योर लाइफ।